Book of Hebrews and chapter number 1. And I want to read just 3 verses here tonight. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Let me take one more verse, because we find in this verse really the key word throughout the book of Hebrews. It says, being made so much better. Now here it says, the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than thee. Notice that word better. I believe a key word throughout this book. Go ahead and be seated, please. I believe the main intent of the book of Hebrews is to show the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ and certainly of the Christian faith. There are a lot of folks today say that we need to be tolerant of all sorts of religions. And I think we need to have tolerance in the fact that we're not going to go out and shoot them. We're not going to go out and ridicule them. We can tell them they're wrong and so forth. But I believe tonight that we have the true faith. I believe Jesus Christ is the way. I believe He's the door. I don't believe there's another way. Some folks say, well, there's a lot of accesses to God, and then there's the Christian way, there's the Catholic way, there's the Episcopalian way. I'm not sure about that one. There's the Presbyterian way. They might say, and there's the Muslim way, and then there's the Confucius way, and the Buddhist way, and all these different ways they might talk about. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. There's just no other way. And He is superior to every person. And the Christian faith, I believe, is superior to any faith, if you so please. Now, there are 2 verses that I believe especially convey the idea of better. Found in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partaker of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Consider Him. Amen. Chapter 12, verse number 3 says, for consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I believe that the Lord here is giving us a tremendous book. And in this book, teaching these Hebrew Christians, hey, hang on. Don't depart from the doctrines you have learned. Matter of fact, throughout the book of Hebrews, we find that there are 5 very distinct warnings that are given to God's people. And they are very important warnings for you and I. Tonight, we're going to look at these first 3 verses. And what we find here is Jesus Christ is better than the prophets. Understand tonight that you and I have been given God's Word, as He says here, in 2 basic facets. In the first one, we find He talks about that it was given to us by the prophets, and then we find through the Lord Jesus Christ. Something interesting is that, like Genesis, we find throughout the New Testament, we find really throughout the Word of God, the proof of the existence of God is never even entered upon. My Bible begins in the book of Genesis and tells me there, in the beginning, God created. It doesn't try to tell us that we have to prove His existence. We don't have to do that. It just takes it as a matter of fact. And it's not, I don't believe, our responsibility to have to do that. Now, if somebody does not have the willingness to look out at what God created and say, hey, God made that, they're not going to believe anything you have to say. To me, it's just that simple. The book of Psalms, chapter 19, says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and He's circled upon the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. God just simply tells us in Psalm 19, hey, listen, I made all this, and if you won't want to believe what I have made, that I am the creator of it, then you're just going to have to not believe it. And understand what Psalm chapter 14, verse 1 says. Again, in chapter 53, I believe it is, in verse number 1, he says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We have a lot of holidays in our country. Matter of fact, the next one coming up is one. Actually, tomorrow, I appreciate Veterans Day, but we have Thanksgiving coming up. It's sometimes considered a Christian holiday. Everybody ought to be thankful, and I believe it came about because of Christians. We have Christmas coming up, a holiday. And April 1st, I believe, is a holiday for all fools. And to me, that's Atheist Day, and they can have it. No offense, Sean, I know your anniversary's on that date. I'm not trying to cast any stones there, but it's just one of those deals whereby, listen, if they will not believe what God has out there, then what will they believe? It's just that simple. Because we believe His existence, it is also assumed that He has spoken to us. If we believe God exists, do we not believe that He can speak to us? And so we pick up our Bible here, and we find it says, in divers manners He spake to us in times past. God is willing and wanting to speak to us. We find that the Old Testament gave to us the law of God. It showed us who we are, showed us our need. And then God, in His wonderful grace, allows Jesus Christ to come in person, and through Him we now have the New Testament. It is through Him that we have now the words of God expressed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you and I tonight have this wonderful Word of God, which was spoken times past, which is spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, in sundry times. In other words, He's talking about in different points of history. We know that it took nearly 1,500 years to write this, the Word of God. It says, in diverse manners. God used different ways of communicating to His men. Abraham had dreams. Moses was given the law and heard His voice. Poetry and prophecy were used, along with even messages from the angels. But we find God uses many different means to get the Word of God to you and to me. Also, we notice from verse number 2 that it's very obvious that God is saying, hey, the Old Testament was not complete and there is a need for more. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a revelation of Himself. It is for you and it's for me that we might be able to see God in His fullness. Since He has spoken to us, I believe there's something that is very important for us to remember. And that is, He expects us to listen. If you speak to your children, do you not expect them to listen? And so God has given us here His wonderful Word that we might listen to Him. Between these two testaments, there was nearly 400 years of silence. And so God tells us here, in these last days. So now it's come upon us, and unto us is a reference now to these Jewish believers, and I believe also can be applied to you and I. We have been given this wonderful Word of God, and He has revealed Himself to us. Tonight I want us to notice something from these verses now. Seven, what I would just call magnificent statements that are concerning the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's notice what these are. Seven magnificent statements. And notice what it says to us here. Who being in the brightness of His glory. And it says here, let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. Whom He hath appointed, in verse number 2, heir of all things. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. God created man to have dominion over the earth. That was His command to man. He was to have dominion. It was His to watch over. It was His to care for. We find that that control was lost. That control was lost because of sin. we find that that control then was taken by Satan. And he has now become the god of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air, referring to basically the atmosphere that you and I live in. You and I were given that, and he has taken that through this process of temptation and then sin. When Jesus came to this world, he had control over it, and he demonstrated that over and over. We find the miracles of God demonstrate to us the control that Jesus had over things. We know that Jesus had control over disease because he was able to heal people of the sicknesses they had. We find that Jesus had control over the demons. He was able to cast them out. We know that. We read that in the Scriptures. We know that Jesus had control over the thing men fear the most, and that is death. Jesus raised people from the dead. We find that one guy I remember, he said he raised the dead, the deader, and the deadest. One had been dead just a few moments, another had been dead a few hours, and one had been dead for about 4 days. And the Lord raised them up from the dead. Our Savior had power over these things. And He showed His authority. He showed that He had control or He had dominion over these things. We are said to be joint heirs with Christ. Now what we know is this. Jesus has dominion over them, but He took the place of the sinner. In taking our place, He died for us upon the cross, as we very well know. And He then arose from the dead. He is at the right hand of the Father. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a few moments. They're interceding for you and for me. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back to this world one of these days. And you and I, we are going to be with Him. And we will be heirs with Him, joint heirs with Him. We will have that wonderful privilege. Romans chapter 8. Why don't you turn there with me? Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16. Romans 8, 16. It says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit." Romans 8, verse number 16. "And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs." Heirs of God. "And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You and I, because God enlivened our spirit and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, because we've been born anew, and we're born in Christ, we have become joint heirs with Him. In other words, everything that God has bestowed upon Jesus, He bestows upon us. We are joint heirs with Him. That's why we will rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand, we're joint heirs. He is the principal heir. And if it was not for He, we would not have a part in it. An heir, in this case, as the Lord Jesus Christ, has control over the inheritance, how it is to be used, whatever is given. In this case, the joint heir means someone else who has control of the inheritance. In other words, you and I have it, but somebody else controls it. It's Jesus. He knows how to use it. And so it is for us, but He knows how to use it. And you and I are thus allocated by Him how much and at what time it is given. Jesus is in control of our inheritance. Amen to that. And I believe that through that He will be revealing the glories of God throughout all of eternity. And He will do that as you and I get to participate in that. By the way, when you go back to Romans in chapter 8 and you read that, when we're talking about the inheritance we have, it's interesting that there are sufferings that go along with that. We don't like to talk about inheriting sufferings, do we? But it's also a part of it. And yet, through those sufferings, the Lord does marvelous things in our lives. If we never had any problems, we would never really see the wondrous deliverance of God Almighty. But it's through those things that He does that for you and for me. Now, notice next we find here in the book of Hebrews, not only are we appointed heir of all things with Him, but it also says here, by whom also He made the worlds. This is a deeper reference than creation of the heaven and earth. Worlds here is a translation of the Greek word, what's A-I-O-N, if you spell it in English, which in other places it's translated as age. Okay? And we get our word eon from this. We talk about eons and eons. And so this goes beyond being creator to giving purpose to everything. By whom He made the worlds. In other words, everything has purpose. He made everything for certain times and for certain reasons. Not only did He make the universe, but He set it all in order with dependability. I'm amazed at a few things. I'm amazed at a lot of things. Our world turns around the sun in 365 and one quarter. It's not even, it's just a little bit more than one quarter of a days in order for that to take place. Why is this an odd number? It takes the moon a little over 29 and a half days to make its full course. Why isn't it a full number? Why does it seem like all these things are somewhat out of whack? God has it all in order. And it all works perfectly well. And yet when we look at these things, it's so magnificent to stop and think, how does this thing work? And it's beyond our comprehension. But it's all functioning and functioning very well. God made it. He set it in order. It is dependable. And praise God for it. Notice he goes on, who being the brightness of His glory. Brightness means the outshining. The sun gives us great illustration. You and I, we can't look directly at the sun. But we get light, we get heat, we can even get healing from the sun. No one has seen God, but we know about Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't see God, but we can see the sun. S-O-N. And so you and I can behold through Christ the brightness of His glory. Even the throne of God, as we see the wonderful light display, is beyond our imagination. But we have a God who's a great God. And the express image of His person. Here's where we get the... it comes from the Greek word, really, character. In other words, talking about the impressed character, the express image of His person. It's talking about that which is like a steel engraving. It's not an imprint, but it's engraven. It's an exact copy, the image of God. It tells us in Colossians, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when you and I look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we see God, the express image of His person. Notice it says next, upholding all things by the word of His power. Now, what do we know God does with His word? Well, we find the first thing that God did with His word is He spoke and the worlds were created. It has creative ability. Amen? We know at the end of the world, the Lord comes down with a sword that comes from His mouth and He slays the armies of the world. So not only does He have creative ability, but He has judgment ability with those words. There's power in the words of God. And you and I, we can possess a copy of God's words, of God's Word, and understand that it has tremendous power. Was it not the Word of God that saved your soul? Was it not that which you believed and accepted in your life? And you and I tonight, we have the unusual, wonderful thing to be able to look and to see that God is one who upholds all things by the word of His power. Now this takes me most directly, not to creation, not to the end time and His judgment, but it takes me to Colossians 1:17. It says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That's an interesting word, consist. It means to be held together. By Him all things are held together. What holds it together? He said He would. He said He would. That's what's holding it together. And our God holds it together. I heard a fellow many years ago who in later years became a pastor, but he had worked for, I believe it was Nassau, for a number of years. He was a scientist. And I'll get mixed up on this. Some of you might be able to help me out from your chemistry or physics. There, what do we got? Protons and neutrons inside of the nucleus of a cell. And going around the outside are electrons. Is that right? If I understand correctly, scientists don't know what keeps the electrons from going whoosh. They don't know what it is. I do. By Him, all things consist. By the way, if they fly off, it's called an explosion. There's where you get your Big Bang Theory. When you don't believe God held it all together. Okay. Notice next here. By Him, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. This is the only time you're going to find purgatory in the Bible. Because Jesus purged our sins for us. The one who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ receives full redemption. Amen. He's the one who takes it all away. And notice the last part. Sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Here is a tremendous message of Hebrews. This is something that has never been seen before. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. He was, He is God. Now, He is the God-man who can intercede for you and for me. He's our intercessor. It says here, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. I believe setting down normally means we have finished the task. He finished the task that needed to be accomplished in order for His intercession to be successful. As He died upon the cross for us, and now He intercedes for us. He died there to save us. He lives up there to keep us saved. His intercessory work guarantees our salvation. But I want to take you one step farther, because I believe as we go through the book of Hebrews, if you read it and study it, you find this. And that is that as our intercessor, He is also not only making our lives here on earth that which is in the realm of saved, but He's bringing heaven to earth. Through His intercession, you and I have the wonderful privilege, I believe, of dwelling in His presence. Chapter 10, if you would. Chapter 10. And I want to read, starting verse number 19, just 4 or 5 verses. He says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having the high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." He says, let's draw near. We have the privilege, because of our Savior, to draw near unto God. We have the privilege of fellowship with Him. We have the privilege of His sending to us the Spirit of God, His Spirit bearing witness with our spirit before the throne of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I believe, have a wonderful privilege of being able to walk with God. You see, often in our Christian lives we think, well, what Jesus did, He saved us from our sin, and now we've got to struggle the rest of the way and just try to be the best we can. No, Jesus saved us from sin, but He also saved us to walk with Him. To walk in the power of the Spirit of God, and to walk knowing that we can have moment by moment fellowship with Him. How can we have that? He is always at the right hand of the Father. You say, well, I might sin, but you have an immediate access to God if we'll take it and bring that to Him, and He effectively cleanses us on the spot. Not days later, not after we've been sorry enough, okay, but when we are willing to admit it to God and ask Him to cleanse us. And God then brings us back into fellowship. And that fellowship can be as if it's ongoing, though it might have very small, minute breaks. We can walk with God. What a glorious privilege we have. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed tonight. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for who You are. Our most gracious God, not only willing to save us, but to lift us from the miry clay, set our feet upon the solid rock, give us access to the very throne of God, to be Your children, to be heirs with You, to have all that is Christ as ours, joint heirs, to have the privileges of the Son, as You have called us the sons of God. We thank You, Jesus, for all this being possible because of what You did on the cross. We thank You, Spirit of God, for speaking to our hearts and showing us these things and constantly being there to lead us and direct us. And our Father, we thank You that we can cry out to You, that we can come to You. And as the prodigal came running back, You were there with open arms. Lord, thank You for that wonderful privilege. I pray that You will work now in our hearts. I pray that You bless the rest of our evening, one with another, as we go our different ways. And Lord, I pray for our young people, those who are working with them. I pray, O God, You might give them salvation tonight. You might open their hearts. Understand, Lord, there are new ones tonight, that the Word of God may penetrate their soul. Oh God, do that which only You can do. We give You glory and praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.